You know, the last few messages have really been born out of my devotional time with God. Sometimes the Lord leads you to a passage that turns into a series. And then sometimes the Lord speaks to you in a certain way, and it's just out of my own time with God. And then I'm like, you know what? This moment is not just for me, it's also for the people. Big part of preaching is discerning what is for you, what's for the people. So starting a couple of weeks ago, as I was coming back, that the focus of all of the benefits that we have in knowing Jesus and serving Jesus just kind of started to rise up in my heart. How many know it is really, really good to know and serve Jesus Christ, the King of Kings? Come on, in Philadelphia, if you're watching online, come on, let's put our hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's so good to serve the Lord. And it's good to serve the Lord because when you serve the Lord, like we learned a couple weeks ago, the Lord keeps your heart and your spirit fresh and young. And even though life gets crazy and life gets difficult, We can be renewed in our spirit day by day. No one else on the planet has the access and the ability to have this encounter with God except the people who accept the love of God. Salvation is free. How many are thankful that salvation is free? It's available to all. But we have to take advantage. And when you take advantage of serving and knowing Jesus, guess what happens? You have this incredible relationship with him that keeps your heart and your spirit young. Last week, we learned about the fact that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Why? Because no matter what happens, we could have hardship during the week. We could have persecution. People can backstab us, put us down, hurt us. Things can go wrong. Things can be turned upside down. But in the worst day that we have on this planet, you and I know that nothing will separate us from the love of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's always with us. He's always there. And we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. So we can always stay up, we can be steady, we can say life is hard, but God is good, and God is with me. How many are happy that God is with us? Hallelujah. And I'm telling you right now, it changes your life. It changes your psychological perspectives, your emotional perspective. You know, you wanna get mentally healthy, emotionally healthy, tap in to the love of God. Because when you're aware that God loves you, even when you wake up and something has not gone well, you still know that that doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It's just part of life. In this life, we'll have many troubles. Troubles come and go, but Jesus remains the same. Hallelujah. That's what's so good. In Philadelphia, that's what's so good. If you're watching online, if you have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, he's in your heart, he's with you, and he loves you. So we can always stay up. How many would say amen? So today I'm going to take us to one more. And this one is so vitally important to becoming, to actually growing in the Lord. And it's like, it's such a benefit and blessing of staying close to Jesus. You not only can stay young, you can not only can stay up, but guess what? You and I, because of a close relationship with Jesus, we can stay strong. Everybody say, stay strong. The Bible speaks, especially in the New Testament. Listen, no matter where you find yourself today, it talks about the strength of God imparted to his children all over the place. The Bible talks about strength in the Old Testament, strength in the New Testament. You know what the Bible promises us? It says, I can do all things through what? Through Christ who what? Strengthens me. Anybody here want the strength of God? We can stay strong. We can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, even when the spiritual forces of evil come against us. It tells us in Ephesians, we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You can be attacked spiritually. You can be attacked emotionally. Things can be coming at you. You could have too much work, too many things going on. And yet, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I in Philadelphia, wherever you find yourself, you and I, we can. Everyone, stay strong. And I want to encourage you, stay strong. Stay strong because you can stay strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I love that. Why? Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so what I want to do today is I want to read two key passages of one verse, then another couple verses. These two verses from the New Testament link together. Interestingly enough, both of these verses are found in the pastoral epistles. So this is the Apostle Paul speaking to leaders and defining for leaders some of the keys to being strong themselves, but also to growing people that are strong. You see, it's my responsibility and the responsibility of these pastors here at this church, not just to get you converted. He didn't say, go and make converts. He said, go and make disciples. A disciple doesn't just accept Jesus. A disciple follows Jesus. A disciple is someone who is an avid follower of Christ and his teachings. God wants to give you the strength to be a strong follower of Jesus. And let me tell you, if you follow Jesus strong, if you go after him strong, your life is gonna count. Your life is gonna make an impact. Your life is gonna make a difference. And when you stand before him on that day, you will hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And how many would agree that is the best reward that anyone can have? Stay strong and follow hard after Christ. He will give you the strength. So here it is. The first passage is the promise of strength. The second one is the process of strength. 2 Timothy 2, 1 says, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now watch this. You then, my son, notice that all things with God, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are born out of relationship. You then, my son, you then, my daughter, be strong in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus. Everyone here, you're a daughter, you're a son. If you've accepted Jesus, you're a daughter, you're a son. And out of that precious, loving relationship, in other words, your private life with God is the key to strength. Your relationship with God is the key to strength. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Then Titus chapter 2 expands on grace. The first one is kind of like a promise. It's like a charge. You can be strong. Look, before we pray, I'm going to read the next verse and we're going to pray. Here's what I want you to pray. I want you to pray that no matter where you feel weak, the Holy Spirit can make you strong. You can be strong in the Lord. And it's not your strength, it's the strength of God. You can be more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You can be strong. So watch, this is the process. It says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. This is for everyone, but not everyone takes advantage of it, right? It says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness. So in a few moments, as I start to unpack one of the keys to being strong, I want to tell you in advance is that strength, spiritual strength, one of the things that it does is spiritual strength gives you the holy no that you need to be more than a conqueror. There's a holy no. And it's a holy no that you may want to say, but you can't say without grace. But with grace, he can put a holy no in you, and it transforms your life. Watch this. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness, worldly passions, and to live self-control, upright, and godly lives in this present age. In this age, right? Not back in the New Testament. You know what I mean? Not way back when your grandparents were, you know, were living for God. Right here, right now, in Chicago, right? With the Instagram world, with the social media world, with all of the stuff that's going on, you and I can say no to ungodliness, worldly passions, and we can live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. Anybody here want to be godly? Come on. Hallelujah. I hope you do. I hope you do, because a godly life is the best life. The most peaceful, the most joyful, the most rewarding, the most fulfilling, the most everything. The world has nothing on the godly person. How many would say amen to that? Now, verse 13 says this. We'll probably come out on Tuesday because I want to talk to you about this on Tuesday. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. But today we're going to focus on just the first part of this thought. And this is basically saying is that spiritual strength is released to us by the grace of God. How can you and I become strong? We become strong by Paul's favorite word, which is grace. So here's what I want to do. I just want to pray for a moment. I'm not going to speak long. We're going to take communion. But I want you to like open your spirit right now to the Holy Spirit, because when you receive grace, it's by the third person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit imparts grace. I'm going to define grace for you in a moment. But I want to encourage you in Philadelphia, if you're watching online, open your heart up to receive grace from the Holy Spirit. Because that grace is the key to your becoming strong in whatever area you need strength. So come on, with hands raised, like little children, open, ready to receive. Let's have a private moment with God. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless my brothers and sisters in Philadelphia. Bless my brothers and sisters watching online. Bless all of your people here at Chicago Tabernacle. Lord, we are nothing without your grace. We're saved by grace and we live by grace. And so, God, we pray for the strength that grace produces in our lives. Strength to make us the husbands we should be, the fathers that we should be, the godly men that we should be, the godly women that we should be, the mothers, the friends, the sisters, the neighbors, the co-workers. God, we need grace. And God, we pray that the Holy Spirit would release grace, so that we would be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. So bless this time. Make it sacred. Make it holy. Make it powerful. We open our hearts and we're ready to receive. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. We can stay strong. So I got some things very quickly to unpack to you. First of all, let's define strength, because what does it mean to be strong? And as I said, strength is all over the New Testament, and I could have read all of those verses, but I want you to look up Google, use Google for good. Look up all the verses on strength in the New Testament. It will, and read them out loud. It'll bless you. But here's the definition. This comes right out of my study, right? So it means to be strong and do with strength and to strengthen. I think the second one really is the one that applies to this. It means to receive strength. It means to be strengthened. In other words, no matter where you are, you can receive strength from God. What would your life be if you received strength from God in that area? You can receive strength from God. You can be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, you can increase in strength. So like if you've grown in God, just because you've grown in God doesn't mean that you can become even stronger in God. We go from glory to glory and from strength to strength, the Bible says. Strength is all over the Bible, and strength is promised to us and available to us, and you can be strong. The Holy Spirit wants to make you strong for the days ahead. How many believe that? How many say amen? Come on, Philly. Look at how Vincent applies this. He says, keep on being empowered. The Christian life means that you are constantly being empowered, right? Keep in touch with the power. Christ is the dynamo. Christ is the engine. Christ is the dynamite for power, but only when and while we keep in touch with him. So you gotta stay close to God. You gotta stay close to Jesus. You gotta stay full of his word. You gotta keep seeking him, but always with the expectation that if I stay close to Jesus, Jesus will make me strong. Strong enough, fill in the blank. Strong enough for whatever you're facing. Fill in the blank, no matter what it is, he can give you strength. The strength that you need. Now, he gives us strength through grace. Okay? There's a promised availability of strength, but how does it happen? It happens through grace. Be strong in the, everybody, grace. Grace is the Apostle Paul's favorite word. Grace is what, in a way, what separates the Old Testament from the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you had to just be good enough, but we weren't good enough. Jesus came and did for us what we could never do for ourselves. Anybody here happy for the grace of God? We're saved by grace. And the way grace is defined here, the way for today's message, here's the way I want to say grace, right? Grace is the Spirit's influence and power affecting us towards his likeness. So grace is the Spirit's influence and power affecting me, affecting you towards his likeness. Grace can make you like Jesus. And this text actually shows us and teaches us how it does it. Because what Titus chapter 2 does, it actually explains to us what I'm going to call the ascending cycle of grace. And it's like running a race. You ever see a race where they have to jump the hurdles? Grace gets you over the hurdles. Could you? So look, imagine running a race that you run around the track, but the track keeps going higher and higher. Okay? And as you're running around that track, this is what happens in your life and mine. This is the key for why some people keep growing in God and some people stop growing in God, or some people get stuck in a certain area in your life. If you've ever, why am I stuck in this area? This passage actually explains it, I think, really, really well. So you start this race, and then there are these hurdles along the way. And first, Titus is hearing from Paul that you have to, by grace, get over the hurdle of ungodliness. I want to explain what that is. Then you have to get over the hurdle of worldliness. These are things that we all contend with. Pastor Toledo, every single person deals with ungodliness. Every single person has to deal with worldliness. And then the last hurdle, the first two are kind of on the negative side. The last one is actually positive, where we have to get over the hurdle of self-control. So what I want to do now is I want to break this down and explain to you how important grace is and how grace is the key for you and I to become stronger and more godly. And what the good news is that it's not us, it's the power of the Holy Spirit in us. So And you're gonna see this is why the holy no is key, because the holy no is what enables you to hurdle the challenge that holds you back from becoming more like Jesus. So the first hurdle is the hurdle of ungodliness. Every person, if you're on this planet, you and I have to jump over, and this is over and over again. This is the cycle of getting strong in different areas. The first hurdle that we have to jump over is the hurdle of ungodliness. And what does ungodliness mean? I want to give you that definition very quickly here. Ungodliness is very interesting. It means a lack of reverence and awareness of God. So the first hurdle, if you want to get strong in God, here's the first thing you got to get over. You got to get over a lack of reverence and awareness of God. See, some people don't grow because they can't get past compartmentalizing their walk with Jesus. Some people, they read the Bible in the morning, but when they finish reading the Bible, it's like that part of their life is closed. But see, so you close that part of your life, and because you close that, instead of taking Jesus with you, instead of staying aware of God, you're like, oh, I did what I need to do, but now I'm separate. Now I'm independent. I don't take him with me. I'm not thinking about him or aware of him. I did what I was taught to do, but my relationship is very disjointed because I talk to Jesus in the morning or I talk to him at night, but not all throughout the day. But for us, how many know God is here, God is there, God is everywhere? Right? He's an all-the-time God. He's not just on time. He's real time all the time. And so it is, and you and I know this is real. We know how easy it is to go from reading your Bible to stepping into a situation, and then you're completely not aware of God. That is the definition of ungodliness. Pastor Jake and I were talking about this, and he told this story. How do you describe reverence, right? So he told this story of how when he was about 11 years old, his father was coaching his basketball team or baseball team. And he's driving home with his dad one day. And his dad says to him, hey, Jake, you know, I've noticed that all your friends, they curse, they say a lot of bad things, and that you don't. And I'm really, really proud of you. And Jake went, thanks, Dad. But then he was thinking to himself, well, the only reason I don't do that is because you're right there. Right? Reverence is very much like that. Reverence is, look, I have a part of me that will bend towards ungodliness, but I love the Lord. And I know that he's with me. And I don't ever want to say something that would hurt his heart. So I think about him all the time. That's why I don't cut corners. That's why I don't cheat. That's why I don't take things, or when people say, do this or do that, you know, it's like, no, I don't do that because I'm always aware of God. You know, when I've been to Europe on occasion with my wife, one of the things we love to do is to go into cathedrals. And you go into these cathedrals, and usually there's these magnificent works of art, and it's dim. And it's like, you're talking about some cases, this is like 800 years old or whatever. And when you go in, there's something about the environment that makes you like not talk loud. Something about it. Because it's a place to seek God. It's a place that was dedicated to honoring God. And so you whisper. Maybe somebody's praying. You whisper. There's a reverence about it. And can I tell you something? When you're really getting strong in God, guess what happens? Grace, everybody say grace. Grace does something inside of you that you can't walk around without thinking about him. So here's what happens. Let me give you the image. So the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching them to say no to ungodliness. And what grace does is grace elevates who you are and who I am so that we could get over our own ungodliness. How many want grace to get us over our own ungodliness? You see, there's a humility to this moment because you and I have to begin with the understanding that without the help of God, we will be ungodly. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be ungodly. And that's why we're so grateful that Jesus saved us and rescued us and lives inside of us, because he is the only one who can cause us to become godly. He's the one who makes us godly, and his grace will elevate us over our own ungodliness. I'm telling you right now, maybe you walk around and say, man, I wish I could be close to God. I wish I could do right by God, but I can't. I can't stop cursing. I can't stop smoking. I can't stop doing this. I can't stop sleeping around. I can't stop doing that. I can't stop doing all of these things. I wish I could live a cleaner life. I'm telling you right now, without grace, you just can't do it. But with grace, hallelujah, there is a holy no inside of you. God releases a holy no that says, no, I can't do that to Jesus. I love him too much. I can't do that to Jesus. And you know what? It's interesting. So, Jake and I studied together, so sometimes Jake gets in the messages, Pastor Jake. Jake was actually downtown at some event. Nothing blesses my heart than moments like this. So he was at some event, and he meets a guy who's in the entertainment industry. And the guy was talking about all of these people. So Jake said to him, oh, you work with that person and that person? And he says, yes. He goes, so you must know Peter. And he goes, Peter? And he goes, yeah, Peter. He goes, how do you know Peter? He said, well, Peter is a friend of mine. Peter goes to our church. Well, he goes, Peter's one of my favorite people in the industry. And you know what he said? He said, Peter, there's something so different about Peter. Hallelujah. He said, he's a different guy. I love that guy. There's something about that guy. Let me tell you something. When grace is at work in your life and you're hurdling the things that people can't hurdle, they take notice, and that opens up the door for Jesus to get the glory. Hallelujah. He can get the glory. You'd be surprised at what your ability to hurdle. Like, you're in a room and people are doing something that is ungodly, and they feel like, no, he's not with that. They take notice. And that notice could be the doorway to their eternity. God wants to use your ability to jump over the hurdle of ungodliness. That's what he wants to do. He gets the glory, you get grace and strength. Second hurdle is the hurdle of worldliness. Now, here's what worldly means. Worldliness is earthly desires and cravings that are contrary to God's will. So look, this is going to make sense to you. Because if you want to get strong, you jump these three hurdles and you get strong. And then guess what? You got to jump those three hurdles again to get stronger in a different area of your life. So take whatever area it is. Take an area of holiness. Take an area of jealousy. Take an area of gossip. Right? Imagine, look, a lot of people battle with gossip. You know, and let me tell you something. Gossip is a very ungodly thing. You know, when you gossip about people, you're putting yourself in the seat of judgment. You're being unkind, unfriendly. You know, you become the kind of person that is untrustworthy. Whenever I hear someone gossiping, I was like, I won't trust this person. Right? You know who not to trust? Don't trust gossipers. Because in a little while, they'll be gossiping about you. So let's just take something, whatever it is, you know, whatever it is, just think about how when you gossip, you're not thinking about God. You're giving into a craving that you have. And you give into that craving. And because you give into that craving, guess what? Now you're acting like you are worldly. That's what the world does. That's not what the children of God do. One of the great questions that you can ask yourself, like some people, they try to make Christianity rules and regulations. It's not about rules and regulations. It's about what pleases Jesus and what doesn't. I love the Lord. All my love is for you. I love the Lord. I want to please the Lord. So would this please God? Right? So worldliness is about cravings that we all have. Every single one of us have these cravings for earthly, ungodly first, like you forget about God and you choose what you want in that moment. But the Bible says that grace, after you become more, the more aware you are of God, now grace is open to you so that when the cravings come, guess what you can say? You can say a holy no to your cravings. So here's the way it works, right? You scale ungodliness, and now that you're like becoming more aware of God throughout the day, now the door opens, and when you have those cravings for the alcohol, to call that person that you know you shouldn't call, to call that married woman, to text that married man, or whatever those things mean. We're talking real today. In Philly, we're talking real today because I know you live in a real world. You live in a real world. And whatever that is, when you're aware of God, all of a sudden, grace starts to kind of push you up. And when you get those cravings, the Holy Spirit releases the strength of God, the influence to cause you to say a holy no to your own self. No, Al Toledo. No, you can't have that. That's not good for you. That's not good for your family. That's not good for the church. That's not good. All of us need grace to say holy no to our cravings. You know, it's been interesting. So I went to a doctor about 5 months ago. I can't exactly remember. And he did all these tests, and he said, hey, you need to go on paleo because you're affected by this, this, and this. So I said, I'm going to do it. And so for about 65, 70 days, no sugar, no carbs, no dairy. I mean, I was like fanatical. And then we went on the ministry trip to Malaysia, and I spoke 10 times in 2.5 days at one point. And when you're traveling and all that, at a certain point, you ain't worrying about paleo. You know? So I was just eating whatever was there. And then one of the things that I really, I because I want to be a servant to people. When I go out to eat with people, I don't like to have them feel like they shouldn't do something because I'm not doing it. I just don't like that. So if I'm hosting someone and they say, oh, man, I love this dessert. Would you have this dessert? I'm going, okay. You know? I wouldn't get it, but I'm not putting my world on you. So that's just the way I am. So anyway, before you know it, I'm having, after not one drop of sugar, I'm just having every kind of dessert in the world. So anyway, we get back, and I'm like, okay, when I get back, I'll just start again. Oh my goodness. The cravings for sugar are driving me insane. The craving for bread, I mean, for me, bread and butter is like steak. Pan con mantequilla, oh my goodness. And so it's funny. I like yesterday, this is true confession. So yesterday I went to eat. I was by myself, spent the day by myself just praying about all kinds of things and getting ready for today. And they put the bread in front of me and the olive oil. So I'm not going to do it. So imagine me alone in a restaurant, right? And like there's this whole conversation going on. Then I went and I chipped off the duck, the hard part, dipped it, one piece, that's it. But now I was like, you still gave in. You know what? Grace is the key to that victory. It's not in willpower, it's in grace. See, a lot of reasons, you know, many reasons people don't get close to God, I'm gonna tell you right now. It's because you're tired of the disappointment. You're tired of disappointment that when you do get close to God, you still fail. And then you're like, get discouraged. You're like, this doesn't work. This is fake. No. No, you're not understanding how close the Holy Spirit wants to be to you. You're not understanding that every minute of your day, He wants to be with you. And while He's with you, if you will develop your relationship with Him, the Spirit of God will release strength and this hurdle of cravings. Do you know how many people say, I used to love to do this thing that was so hurtful to my life and my family. And now, see, what God does, He makes you hate the things you used to love and love the things that you didn't even care about. That is the power of grace in Philadelphia. Is anybody here ready for some grace? Hallelujah. You know, so I learned, and for the young people are gonna laugh at me, but almost done here. I learned a phrase, like, yo, I grew up in the city, you know, I thought I was up on stuff. So I was walking in Philly one morning, and where we stay in Philadelphia, it's a very transitional neighborhood. And so I went for a walk in the morning. And can I tell you something? And this is why you have to pray for Philly. We got to pray for Philly. Philly has to pray for Philly. This is not God's will. This is not God's way. But I learned a phrase titled, wake and bake. If you don't know wake and bake, that's okay. I didn't know what wake and bake was either. So you know what wake and bake was? I couldn't believe it. So people wake up in the morning, and because now that our brilliant leaders have said that it's okay for people to smoke marijuana, guess what they do? The minute they wake up, they're getting lit up. And you walk by houses, and you walk by crowds, and the smell of marijuana is pouring out of people's windows and front doors. Everywhere. And people, it's like 8:30 in the morning, and they're sitting on the front of the stoop. And like there's this cloud of weed and marijuana. How good is your day gonna be If you're a slave to weed, how smart, how sharp, how godly, who are you gonna help if you're like lit up by marijuana? I don't care if it's legal. It's ungodly. It'll hurt you. It'll destroy you. You can't be the father that God wants you to be if you're hooked on weed. You can't be the mother. You can't be the friend. You can't be the student if you're like steeped in weed. You wake up and your best friend is weed instead of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something? There's something more. There's someone better. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Come on, let's put our hands together for Jesus. Jesus wants to help you. How about wake and worship? Hallelujah! Glory to the name of the Lord! Wake and worship. And watch the Holy Spirit take you over every hurdle. Hallelujah. Come on, God is good. He's powerful. He's wonderful. Can I tell you, when I first became a Christian, the Lord gave me a phrase. The phrase was carnal curiosity. You know what grace does? Listen closely, everyone who's watching online. What grace does is it gives you victory over your own carnal curiosities. Curiosity killed the cat, satisfaction brought him back. That's a lie. It's clever, but it's just the deception of the devil himself. You don't have to taste everything. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to feel everything. You're not missing out if you don't do everything that everyone else is doing. There are carnal curiosities that will totally destroy you. Identify it. When you get a carnal curiosity, grace will tell you, that is a curiosity. You don't need to find out what's behind that door. Because that's just not for you. You know? It's like, brothers, if you're married, sisters, if you're married, then here's a great phrase. I already have one of those at home. Come on, somebody say amen. If you can't make it happen with the one at home, stop kidding yourself. Grace steals, it takes out what's trying to steal from you. The lie that's trying to steal your joy, your peace, and your blessing. There's no one like Jesus. Last one, and then we're gonna take communion together. The last one, so the first two are kind of the negative side of you. The third one is actually building up. So watch this. First, you got to hurdle ungodliness. You just got to start becoming more aware of God. Grace will help you with that. Then you have to get over the hurdle of those cravings. The Holy Spirit, if you're aware of Him, if you're tapping into Him, grace will elevate you over that. But then, now there is where the strength really begins, where you start to sow seeds and the fruit of the Spirit starts to be released in your life. That's the hurdle of self-control. Everybody say self-control. Even though it says self-control, it's self-controlled, empowered, and elevated by grace. So even self-control comes from the Holy Spirit. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. What is self-control? Very quickly here. Self-control is restraint exercised over one's own impulses, emotions, and desires. So it's like self-control means that now you're not a slave to your cravings. Now You're not a slave to the voices of the world because you're listening to the voice. You are aware of God and you're trying to tune into the voice of God. So all of a sudden you're different. See, sometimes people don't understand. You really can get to the place where you can walk in victory over those things, even though all of your friends are total slaves to it. Why? If you have Christ in you. It's possible. How many know all things are possible through Christ Jesus? Hallelujah. Amen. So then, now you start to develop mastery over yourself by the strength of the Holy Spirit, where when you wake up in the morning, you start to live more of a disciplined life. So for example, in Timothy, it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind or self-control. You can get to the place where you have way more restraint than you've ever had before because of the power of the Holy Spirit. I need more self-control when it comes to bread and sugar, right? So this is a big deal. Now, this is the last thing I want to say. Look, watch this image. So just to recap, grace helps you jump over ungodliness. Grace helps you jump over the hurdle of worldliness. And notice that the hurdles are just way too high for us, humanly speaking. But grace then gives you the ability to live a life that is marked by self-control. Self-control is a big deal. And I want to take 30 seconds and talk to parents. If you don't discipline your children, they never learn self-discipline. Everybody wants to be their child's best friend when what our children need are parents. Trust me, I'm a grandpa now. When they grow up, they become friends. You know? It happens, but not in the beginning. You know, in the beginning, we are called to train them in the ways of God. When a child experiences discipline from their parents, they develop self-discipline. When dad says, sit in the chair and be quiet, they learn not because of self, but because of dad. But they develop muscles and an understanding and a concept like, I can sit still. You understand? So listen to this. I'll close with this and then we're going to take communion. But 50 years ago, a psychologist did this experiment. There's a book called The Marshmallow Test. I want to read this very quickly. So the guy became known as the Marshmallow Man. Walter Mischel is an Ivy League professor known for his experiments in self-control. 50 years ago, he created a test to see how various five-year-olds would respond to being left alone with a marshmallow for 15 minutes with instructions not to eat it and with the promise that if they didn't, they would be given two. Famously, preschoolers who waited the longest for the marshmallow went on to have higher SAT scores than the ones who couldn't wait. In later years, they were thinner, earned more advanced degrees, use less cocaine, cope better with stress. So now he's in his 80s, and he wants to make sure that the nervous parents of self-indulgent children don't miss his key findings. Watch this. Whether you eat the marshmallow at age 5 isn't your destiny. Self-control can be taught. Hallelujah. But what I'm saying is even though this is part natural, there's a wisdom to this, there is a spiritual root to self-restraint. It's grace. Grace is the true key. The power of the Holy Spirit is the true key. So here's what I want to do. we take communion here from, we don't do it every week, but we do it when we feel like the Spirit is leading us to do it. We try to get communion in, you know, close to once a month. Today's a perfect day for us to take communion. When you take communion, part of what is happening, listen, here in Philadelphia. In fact, right now in Philadelphia, one of the pastors, one of the leaders, Pastor Josh, is gonna come and start to serve you communion. But as he's coming, here's what I wanna say. This is a time to be honest with God and to say, God, I don't wanna make excuses for ungodliness and say I'm too weak. We already know we're too weak. This is a time to not make excuses for worldly cravings. We all have them. This is a time to not make excuses for self-control, because by the power of the Holy Spirit, we go from strength to strength and from glory to glory. So sometimes a congregation needs to repent collectively but individually and say, God, I want to get right with you. The only way to get right with God is to come under the blood of Jesus again.